In the second reading today, St. Paul tells us that it is now the hour for you to wake from sleep. He tells us the night is far advanced, the day is at hand. So is he telling us that we're supposed to be waking up in the middle of the night? No, that's not his point. He's trying to address a spiritual issue, not a physical one. So he's telling us to be able to look at what's going on so that we can be spiritually awake. That's what he was telling the people 2,000 years ago. What do you think he'd be telling us today? If the night was far advanced back then, it's way advanced at this point. And so what does he mean when he tells us to be awake? Well, first of all, we have to understand what he's not saying is that we have to be woke, because that is totally antithetical to the truth. We aren't about being woke. We're about being awake, awake to the truth. And that's exactly what we hear about in the first reading. The prophet Isaiah tells us that the day will come when people are going to say, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob. He will instruct us in his ways and we will walk in his paths. So we have to ask ourselves, do I want the instruction of God? Do I want his truth? Because that's really what this is all about. We live in a society that in general doesn't want the truth, or at least we haven't been given the truth. And so we live in a bunch of lies. And it's convenient to be in the lies because then we can fit in with everyone else. But the Lord's not asking us to fit in with everyone else. So do we really want to live the truth? Do we want to walk in the ways of God? St. Paul tells us the same thing. He says, throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, to walk as in the daylight, where everything is wide open, nothing is hidden. Is that what we want? If we look at what our society is about, we tend to follow whatever the media tells us. And they tell us things that are not true. I started catching on to that way back when I was a teenage kid. There were events that I witnessed myself, and then I would see it on the news, and what they said on the news had very little to do with what actually happened. At first you think, well, maybe I got it wrong. And after a while, you realize, well, maybe they were mistaken. And then after a bit, it's finally the understanding that this is being done on purpose. They have an agenda. And yet we keep believing them. We've got this weird idea that, first of all, they wouldn't lie to us. I mean, why would they do something like that? Well, first of all, understand that the number one area of employment for people who worship Satan is the media. They follow the father of lies. They're not going to be interested in telling you the truth because they've got an agenda. And they know fully well that whoever controls the message controls the minds of the people. But yet we continue to believe them. And we've got this strange idea that somehow or another, if somebody's on TV, they must be an expert, because they wouldn't bring on people who don't know what they're talking about, or they wouldn't bring on people who won't tell us the truth. Well, let me tell you an example that just happened a couple of days ago. There was this tragic thing that happened out in Colorado where somebody went into a bar and started shooting people. And the media immediately came out and started telling you that this was a right-wing character, this was a conservative, this was somebody who was homophobic, somebody who was a conspiracy theorist, all these things. And then the next day, the guy's attorney came out and said, my client is non-binary and goes by they and them. Well, then they had to start doing some repair work. Rather than saying, we lied, no, what they did is they brought in an expert to be able to tell us that what happened is that he lied. He's not really this way. So who was the expert that they brought in? This was, by the way, on one of the mainstream national media outlets. Somebody sent this to me, a little clip watching it. They didn't bring in somebody who had a background in law enforcement or somebody who was an attorney or even a psychologist. The expert was a young man who thinks that he's a woman. That was the expert to convince us all of what they wanted to tell us. It's a bunch of hogwash. And yet people continue to buy these lies. We want to be woke. We want to fit in. Well, when we go back and look again at what Isaiah says, that people are going to say, let's climb the mountain of the Lord to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. You don't even have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to climb a mountain. You have been given the fullness of truth. But again, do we even want that? Because if we're going to live according to the truth, it's not quite going to be the way society is. And so what we've done is we've found a way of compromising the truth. But you understand, if you compromise the truth, you don't have the truth anymore. If you're talking to somebody who didn't have the truth, and you're trying to present the truth, and they say to you, well, let's compromise. They didn't have the truth in the first place. They don't care if they compromise. But you did have the truth, and now you don't anymore. Put it into a mathematical way. If you're saying 2 + 2 = 4, and you're talking to somebody who said, no, 2 + 2 = 6, and then they say, well, let's compromise. 2 + 2 = 5. They're slightly closer to the truth. They're still wrong. But now you no longer have the truth, and you're wrong. And so which is it? Do we have the truth? Do we want the truth? Because if we're going to say, let's seek the instruction of God, we have the scriptures. We have the divinely inspired truth. We have the teaching of the church. We have it all given to us. But once again, do we want it? And so we have to then go to the gospel reading and listen to what our Lord tells us. That we don't know the day or the hour of his coming. If the householder had known the hour the thief was going to come, he would have stayed up and made sure his house wasn't broken into. Was he telling us when he tells us to stay awake that we shouldn't go to sleep? Not in a physical way, obviously, we can't do that. But once again, he's telling us to stay awake spiritually because we don't know when he's coming. And that's one of the struggles here with even the season of Advent as we begin that today. Advent has this twofold way of looking. It's looking backwards because it's looking at the birth of Christ, the first coming of our Lord into the world. And then it's looking forward to the second coming of our Lord. But again, notice what Jesus tells us. He said, be prepared. Be prepared. That's what Advent is all about. You notice we wear purple during Advent. Purple in the church is a sign of penance. It's a penitential season, different from the penance that we do during Lent. In Lent, we do penance in reparation for our sins. In Advent, we do penance in preparation for the coming of the Lord. And so it's to prepare our hearts, as we'll hear next week, St. John the Baptist saying, prepare a way for the Lord. That's what this season is about, preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Now, our Lord told us that when he comes again, it's going to be similar to what happened at the time of Noah. The people weren't expecting it. And you can ask yourself, really? How could they not be expecting it? Noah had been building this ark for almost 100 years. The thing is massive. It's the size of a football field. They didn't know. They made fun of him. They thought he was an idiot. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to listen to what Noah had to say. And they just carried on with their daily life. And what happened when our Lord came the first time? The people knew, were told in the scriptures that it was a time of expectation. They knew exactly when the Messiah was supposed to be coming, because God had told the prophet Jeremiah that there would be 70 weeks. And when 70 weeks went by and that didn't happen, the prophet Daniel went to prayer and said, trying to figure it out, the Lord said, it's 70 weeks of years. So they knew it was 490 years. That's why it was a time of expectation. The people were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They knew. And what happened when Jesus came? They didn't want him. They were too busy with everything else. He was inconvenient. They didn't want anything to do with him. So again, now we have to look at our own selves. Do we want him? Do we want his truth? Do we want to walk in his way? Are we awake to the truth? Are we awake to what's going on around us? And so in this time of Advent, we're to prepare ourselves for that. And so part of it, again, we can look at it and prepare with our Blessed Lady for the birth of our Lord. But again, we look forward also. And we prepare ourselves for his second coming. But we might look at both of those and say, well, it's kind of difficult. I mean, 2,000 years ago with our Blessed Lady, that's different from what we're dealing with now. And he tells us we don't know the day or the hour, so we don't know when he's coming. So how can we entirely be prepared? So let's just make it very personal then. What if you found out today that you had 1 month to live? Because that's what we've got for Advent. We've got a month. We've got 4 weeks. What if you were going to see the Lord in 4 weeks? What would you do differently? How would you prepare? You've got 1 month to be able to get your heart ready. What would change? So look at it that way. What's your spiritual life look like? What do you want it to look like? What condition is your soul in? If the Lord were to call you home, are you ready? Is your soul in the state of grace? Are you focused on the Lord? Or are worldly concerns more important? If you knew you had a month left to live, are you going to say, well, I've got this whole bucket list of things, I got to go and do all this stuff? Or are you going to prepare spiritually so that you can be ready for the day of judgment? Those are the kinds of things that we have to look at. And so in this time of preparation, maybe that's a great way for us to consider it. What does my heart look like? Have I prepared a way for the Lord? Is union with Jesus what's most important to me? Is seeking his truth and walking in his path what's important? Or is fitting in with the ways of the world, compromising the truth, being selfish, whatever? Fill in the blank. So again, look at that question. If you knew that you were going to be called home, what would you want to change? Start making those changes. It's probable that you're not going to be called home in the next month, but that's not the issue. The issue is making sure that we are seeking the Lord's truth and trying to walk in His way, that we are being truly awake spiritually. That's what this season is about. And so as the darkness outside becomes more and more in our hemisphere, the light must shine more brightly on the inside so that we can be truly awake, so that the soul can be filled with the brightness of the light of God. That's what St. Paul is talking about. Put on the armor of light. Put aside the works of darkness. Walk as in the day, not as in the night. So look seriously at that question. If I were called home today, what would my judgment be? What would that look like if I were to stand before the Lord today? If you take a big gulp when you think about that, then let's do something about it. Because we want to be able to be at peace. That's what the scriptures are telling us today. We've heard it over and over again. We can only be at peace when we have the truth. We can only be at peace when we're living a good moral life. We can only be at peace when we're at union with Jesus. That's what He's asking for. That's what this season is about. So it is indeed a time of preparation, of preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord, preparing our soul to make sure that we're in the state of grace, to make sure that our spiritual life is in good order, so that our focus is truly on the Lord, that we are truly awake, awake for the truth, awake for Jesus.